Cardinal Stickler then addressed the issue of the commission. He said, Pope John Paul II asked a commission of nine cardinals in 1986 two questions. First, did Pope Paul VI or any other competent authority legally forbid the widespread celebration of the Tridentine Mass in the present day? And the cardinal said, Cardinal Stickler said, I can answer because I was one of the cardinals. He continued, the answer given by the nine cardinals in 1986 was no. The Mass of St. Pius V, that is the Tridentine Mass, has never been suppressed. That's the cardinal speaking. In answer to the second question, can any bishop forbid any priest in good standing from celebrating the Tridentine Mass? Cardinal Stickler replied, the nine cardinals unanimously agreed that no bishop may forbid a Catholic priest from saying the Tridentine Mass. Now, the fact that the Tridentine Mass is not forbidden is one of the best-kept secrets of the past 20 years. Even Pope John Paul II, according to Cardinal Stickler, did not announce that priests are free to celebrate the Tridentine Mass because there were certain cardinals who would oppose this statement. He was ready to make a public statement, Cardinal Stickler says, but there were highly placed cardinals who would oppose it, so he didn't say anything. But the fact remains, even though John Paul II has not admitted it publicly, the fact remains that the Tridentine Mass has never been forbidden, and no priest can be forbidden to celebrate the Tridentine Mass in private or in public. Then in January of 2003, the Vatican admitted that the Society of St. Pius X Masses fulfills the Catholic Sunday obligation. On January 8th of 2003, the Vatican's Ecclesia Dei Commission, in response to someone who asked about attending chapels of the Society of St. Pius X, wrote in a letter that, here's what the Ecclesia Dei Commission said, that attending the Society of St. Pius X chapels fulfills the Catholic Sunday obligations, and second, that Catholics are permitted to make financial contributions to the Society of St. Pius X. In the letter of January 8, 2003, the Vatican office makes the proviso that they do not recommend Catholics to attend these chapels, but there is no sin providing that the individual attending does not, according to them, does not intend to separate himself from the Roman pontiff. It has to be noted that this last point addresses a problem that does not really exist. I have been attending the traditional Mass in independent and SSPX chapels for more than 23 years, and I have never once met anyone in these chapels, that is a priest or layman, who intends to separate himself from the Roman pontiff. The prime motivation for myself, my family, and others who attend these chapels is to adhere to the Latin Tridentine Mass and to adhere to the traditional teaching and practice of the Catholic Church throughout the centuries at a time when our church leaders are giving us stones instead of bread. The Vatican also now admits, here and there, that the Society of St. Pius X is not separated from the Catholic Church. Someone asked Cardinal Cassidy, who at the time was prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for Christian Unity. They asked if his office should deal with the Society of St. Pius X as a separate church, as a separate religious group. Cardinal Cassidy responded in a letter of March 25, 1994, that the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, quote, is not concerned with the Society of St. Pius X. The situation of the members of this society is an internal matter of the Catholic Church. The society is not another church or ecclesial community in the meaning used in the directory. He's talking about the 1993 directory. This means that the Vatican considers the Society of St. Pius X to be an internal church matter and not a group that is outside the church. For documentation on this, please go on the web to www.oltyn.com. That's O-L-T-Y-N. Go to the Index of Catholic Family News articles. And there what you will see, both the article about Cardinal Stickler admitting the Tridentine Mass has never been forbidden, and also the article where the Vatican admits that the Society of St. Pius X Masses fulfill the Sunday obligation. At this point, we will return to Father Paul Kramer, who was answering a question at a Q&A session at a year 2000 Catholic Family News Conference. And here, Father Kramer explains that the Pope could not forbid the Tridentine Mass even if Quo Premen had never been written. This one was directed towards Father Kramer. How do you respond to Catholics that claim that Quo Premen was disciplinary decree
and not infallible, and therefore attending the Novus Ordo is permissible.
The first thing I would point out to you is the approach that St. Thomas Aquinas used in his analysis of various questions was that the question is not sufficiently formulated. The claim that quo primum was a disciplinary decree strongly seems to suggest that it was entirely, essentially, and merely a disciplinary decree, and therefore not infallible. First of all, for the sake of argument, let us assume that it was something merely disciplinary. It would not follow, logically, therefore, that attending the Novus Ordo rite is permissible. Because the Church's doctrine regarding liturgy is formulated in many pronouncements, infallible pronouncements, before quo primum was ever issued. It was the Council of Trent that solemnly declared anathema, which is to say, it is a heresy, to say that any pastor in the church, whosoever he may be, has the power to change the traditional rite into a new rite. That is canon Session 7, Canon 13, and the sacraments in general. If anyone says that the received and approved rite customarily used in the Catholic Church for the solemn administration of the sacraments can be changed into other new rites by any pastor in the church, whosoever, let him be anathema. For 600 years, the popes made a solemn profession at their coronation, a public and solemn profession, that they did not have the power to change the liturgy. And they invoked the wrath of God upon themselves if they should dare to change it or allow anyone to change it. The profession of faith of Pope Pius IV, the Tridentine profession of faith, binds the Catholic to his traditional rites, to the received and approved rites. One must embrace and adhere to the received and approved customary rites of the church. That is the faith. Therefore, the creation of a Novus Ordo is contrary to the defined dogma of the faith. It is contrary to the faith solemnly professed in the professions of the popes. It is contrary to the profession of faith. It has been perpetually the teaching of the Church that Catholics are bound to their customary rite. And that's why in the controversy regarding Greek versus Roman rite that was settled by the Council of Florence under Pope Eugenius IV in the solemn definition that the Greeks are to confect the sacrament of the Eucharist according to their customary rite, and therefore they must use the leavened bread. And in the Roman Church, they must follow the rite of their customary rite of their ritual church, which is the rites of the Roman Church. This is what the faith dictates and decrees. And that is why it has always been regarded as an act of schism, or even a pope, to attempt to change the rites, to alter the ceremonies of the liturgy, as the popes had solemnly professed for so many centuries, that is not in their power. And so even the official designated theologian of the Council of Basel, which eventually moved to Florence and became the Council of Florence, one who was responsible in the formulation of the doctrines that were defined at Florence, as the one I mentioned before, Cardinal Juan de Torquemada explained that if the Pope were to change the rites, if he were to attempt to change the rites, he would be committing the act of schism. And so, regardless of quo primum, it had been a well-established teaching of the Catholic faith that the Roman rite cannot be trashed and replaced with a new rite. That is contrary to the law of God as defined by the infallible magisterium of the Church. However, beyond that, when we look at quo primum, Pope Pius V refers to the Roman rite as that rite which has been handed down in the Roman Church, clearly designating that the rite in the Missal that he codified is that rite which is the customary rite, the received and approved rite customarily used in the solemn administration of the sacraments. And therefore, that is the only lawful rite that can ever exist in the Roman Church, the Roman rite. And just as it would be considered absolutely outrageous for anyone to try to impose a new rite or impose the Roman rite on the Greek Church, likewise, it is an outrage for anyone to impose a new rite on the Roman Church. And ironically, it is even the 1983 Code of Canon Law that upholds the right and the duty of Catholics to adhere to their customary rites. And as Roman Catholics, our customary rites are the Roman rites, the ceremonies of the Roman rite. And the popes have professed, and the Church has solemnly taught, that that cannot be taken away from us. We cannot defect from that rite and embrace a new rite without violating what has been taught as the doctrine of the faith in the Church down through the centuries. However, quo primum is entirely based on that teaching. It is an application of that teaching. In general, the formulation defined by the Church is that we adhere to our own customary, received, and approved rite. What Pope Pius V points out in quo primum is that the rite in this Missal, this Roman Missal, this is the received and approved rite of the Roman Church. And therefore, it is a particular application of that dogmatic teaching that, as I said, has been taught by the Council of Trent in Session 7, Canon 13, formulated in a different manner previously by the Council of Florence. And so we cannot say it is merely a disciplinary decree. It is disciplinary, of course, it deals with discipline. But it is a disciplinary decree based on dogma. It's rooted in dogma, and therefore it has a much greater force than something merely disciplinary. We are not dealing with merely ecclesiastical laws because it is the application of divine law as has been solemnly defined by the Church's infallible magisterium. And it is with being fully aware of this, Pope St. Pius V did not shrink from saying, by our apostolic authority, we statute and declare that this present document cannot ever be revoked or modified at any time. Now he solemnly declared that quo primum cannot ever be revoked or modified. Why did he do that? Because it is an application of the divine law as defined by the Church regarding the Roman rite specifically, in the Roman Church specifically. And so it is not merely disciplinary. It is a disciplinary decree rooted in dogma, rooted in the doctrine of the faith. There are other legal formulations used in other decrees saying, henceforth in perpetuity. We're not dealing with something so simple as that. We're dealing with a very explicit pronouncement where he says, this present document, by our apostolic authority, we statute and declare, can never be revoked or modified at any time. However, even if the Pope had never issued quo primum, the doctrine of the Church had been previously defined. The proper liturgy of the Roman Church is the Roman Rite. That's the faith. That is the teaching of the Church. And so, even if quo primum had never existed, and even if Pope Pius V had not codified the Missal, Catholics would still be bound to their customary traditional rites. That is the doctrine of the faith, and that can never change.
Extra copies of this recording may be obtained by writing to Olteen Library Services, that's OLTYN, Olteen Library Services, 2316 Delaware Avenue, PMB 325, Buffalo, New York, 14216. Please ask for our catalog of traditional Catholic materials.